Good morning. You're watching Deprogram with Ted Rall and John Kiriakou. I'm Ted Rall. That's John Kiriakou. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. You know, I don't know why. I have some kind of mental block. And every year, I just, for the life of me, can't remember what day is St. Patrick's Day. And really? Then yesterday, I went to the post office, and it's next door to an Irish pub in my neighborhood. And yeah. I was like, oh, okay, it's coming up.
Well, in New York, it's hard to forget.
Yeah.
You know, it's always part of the scenery, and you know, it's, I have no Irish ancestry at all, but I always Nor love Irish people, so they're great. So anyway, okay, so let's see. We've got lots to talk about. Trump's been begging European allies to help him out in the. He basically started a fight. Now he wants the help of the Europeans to help them reopen the Strait of Hormuz. He claims that some countries are lining up. I don't know if he has like Tuvalu and Vanuatu ready to help. But
well, usually Tahiti and Costa Rica are good to go on these issues. Yeah,
usually. you can always look at the mighty Costa Rican fleet will save the day there. But it doesn't look like the frogs or the krauts can be bothered. This is a continuing story, but I think it's worth noting. The Israel continues to decline in the polls. What's really funny is it's all attributed to Gaza. But there's no, you know, the all the analysts don't talk about Israel's role attacking Iran. That can't be helping. And then this is a huge story, and it's being a little bit buried. Pakistan bombed Kabul and hit a drug rehab center. I didn't even know that the Taliban had such things. They killed at least 400 people at the rehab center in Kabul.
Yeah.
And this will be familiar. They basically said, well, we weren't aiming at a rehab center. Mm-hmm. We thought it was an ammo dump.
Exactly. And
Cuba is in total electricity blackout. Not the first time it's ever happened, but it's like still getting, they're getting longer and more thorough. And Trump said he's musing and saying that he can take Cuba. He wouldn't say what that meant.
He said he will have the honor of taking Cuba.
Or he said, I could liberate it or I could take it.
Mm-hmm.
I.
And then he added, I can do anything I want.
It's breathtaking.
that's the word. Yes, indeed.
I mean, by Trumpian standards, it's always indeed. Like he calls and raises himself over and over. John, what would you like to discuss first?
Really quickly, just to get it out of the way, I want to talk about Cuba for a second, because we're going to spend the whole show practically talking about Israel. I was in Cuba 3 years ago, last month, and there are power outages every day. And people get used to it. They sort of set aside water in jugs, and they have some sticks and twigs to make fires if you know they have to cook food. But you're pretty well guaranteed that your electricity is going to go out 2-3 on a bad day 4 hours a day. Literally, the entire country is blacked out right now. Mm-hmm. They are out of fuel. It just doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. The streets, I don't know if you've seen on the news, the streets are completely vacant except for people on bicycles. Mm-hmm. This is different from previous blackouts. The government is teetering on the brink of collapse. And Trump said yesterday that the administration is in talks with the Cubans that he might not invade Cuba if the current president steps down.
It's the Venezuelan model.
That's exactly what it is. It's the Venezuelan model. I can't even believe that we're having this conversation, but there it is.
How would I mean, so I think that, you know, from what I can gather, the current president is amenable to the possibility of stepping down.
Yep.
But then what? I mean, how about the Cuban people?
Right.
Do they want to return to a Batista 2.0 situation?
See, this is that anti-communist Marco Rubio, just like we said, neocon, hater of communism, even though his people left Cuba before the communists took over, as did Ted Cruz's. But yeah, there's just nobody to stop these guys.
Ted Cruz's family left under Batista. They were, and didn't he admit that his father was tortured by Batista.
By Batista.
So is he, I mean, like you said yesterday, he's, for a smart man, he's incredibly stupid.
Incredibly. It's shocking how stupid Ted Cruz is.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't like, wasn't he like the lion of the Harvard debate team?
Yes, exactly. And that's why Alan Dershowitz called him the smartest law student he ever had. Ted Cruz.
That, like, that isn't true. That cannot be true.
Tell you, man, that says a lot.
All right. So, I mean, look, we're going to, so let's unpack this. I mean, will he get the Venezuelan model? And will we see another Mariel boatlift, another massive migrant flow? Or is that something that Trump wouldn't allow? Is there a way he could stop it?
You know, my guess, Ted, my guess is these guys in Cuba, they love their country. Mm-hmm. And if they think that stepping aside is going to save their country from an American invasion,
yes,
whether that's a realistic scenario or not, I think that they'll step aside.
I agree with that. Will Cuba become a failed state?
God, I think it pretty much is. I mean, it took us almost, 65 years or 66 years. But yeah, I think we finally failed. We finally forced Cuba to fail. I think that's really what it's finally come down to.
How could, but I mean, you know, look, we've already made Haiti a failed state.
Yeah.
It's much smaller than Cuba. Cuba has 10 million people.
Yes.
I mean, it's hard to imagine that we're here in the United States, we can escape the repercussions of having a failed state 90 miles off the Florida coast.
Yeah, and everybody's okay with that. And then what does that mean over the longer term? Does it mean that all these Cubans are going to go back to Cuba? I mean, what are we supposed to take from this?
Yeah, that's like one of the big negotiating points, right? Like that the Cuban expats would be allowed to invest in Cuba. I guess the Cuban government's already agreed to that. I don't even know why they were against it in the first place.
No.
Who would want to invest in Cuba at this stage if it's about to, you know, circle the drain?
Right. I wouldn't. I'd be worried about it, like genuinely. I don't know. I wanted to get that out of the way just because I think it's far more important than the American media are telling us right now.
Well, shall we knock off Pakistan too?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so obviously,
all-out war. Remember, those were the words,
right? And there's so many echoes of what's going on in, between the U.S. and Iran, right? I mean, the U.S. hasn't really articulated clear war aims against Iran. It's sort of like, hey, let's bomb some shit and see what happens. And that's kind of like what the Pakistanis are doing in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. They're bombing some shit and seeing what happened. And they seem to be using the same outdated map information that the maybe they're using the DIA as a subcontracting their maps to the to the ISI. What do you even? I mean, the Afghans say they're going to retaliate, but they can't really. They're not going to be able to do anything to the Pakistanis.
There's no air force.
Right.
They don't have missiles. There's just no way for them to retaliate. None.
Now the world's not going to care about this the way we care about 175 schoolgirls in Iran because they're schoolgirls. These are drug addicts,
right?
Or you know, former drug addicts, or people who are trying to become former drug addicts. I think it's kind of cool that the Taliban, I mean, they do have a major drug problem, and I think it's very cool that they have these programs. You know, when I was there last time, they didn't.
No way.
So, it's 400 innocent civilians. I mean, there should be accountability.
Yeah, there should. And the Pakistanis don't give a shit.
No.
And they've pretty much said so.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, we live in a world with totally devoid of accountability.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we can talk about Israel and the Strait of Hormuz, and I'm sure we'll get to that in as part of the questions organically, right? So shall we first, I'd like to, if you're okay with this, John, let's catch up with two of the super chats that we didn't get to yesterday.
Yes.
Okay. First one is thanks for the 10 Canadian dollars. And unfortunately, this is too small for me to read. Matt's something. John, where's Netanyahu?
Yeah. So the reports are that Netanyahu is in Germany, that Netanyahu is in Cyprus, that yet Netanyahu is in a bunker in Israel, that Netanyahu is dead. I saw a people are so easily fooled by AI. I saw this video yesterday that he was at some scenic overlook in Israel, like in the Golan Heights or something. And in one of the clips, he had six fingers on each hand.
There's another one I saw that the Iranians put out, and it's Mojtaba Khamenei having coffee at the same coffee shop that Netanyahu's fake AI video was at.
Oh my God. The other comment about Netanyahu was that in all of these videos, he's wearing the same clothes.
The same jacket, right? he's like, he borrowed Modi's jacket and he's just wearing that all the time. And also, you know, he's must be on like Kick-Ass Ozempic because he's lost like 2 years of like older person weight.
And his ears are like twice the size that they used to be.
I guess anything's possible. It's just really bizarre. I mean, what do you think? Where do you think the dude is? I mean, do you think he's dead? I mean,
I don't think he's dead. And I don't think Ben-Gvir's dead. And I don't think Netanyahu's younger brother's dead. He may be in Israel in some bunker, possibly. Mm-hmm. I think he's probably in Cyprus. It's close by and it's safe. Right. I don't know. It's impossible to say.
Okay. So again, I apologize for coming so close to the screen here. Do you think this is thanks for the $5 this is left over from yesterday? Do you think that people leaving Zionism is one of the reasons that the war is going on now?
I don't.
No,
I don't.
Okay, let's move on to some of today's questions. From Shemasher, thanks for the $4.99. John, you think the military would be involved in voter suppression? I think ICE and other agencies would restrict voters in democratic cities from voting. I think it's going to be more extreme than that, but
I am genuinely worried about these different scenarios. I really am. I mean, we talked yesterday for a minute about the possibility of the midterms being delayed or canceled and the general election being tampered with. We're having these conversations because I think Americans agree it's a real possibility.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of signals coming out of the administration and from the president himself that they're flirting with these ideas. They're trying to prepare people for the possibility. I mean, kind of the irony is the mere fact that people like us are afraid that it's going to happen and are talking about it are also risk normalizing the idea. But mm-hmm. I don't think there's any way to not talk about it. So it's just inevitable. To answer the question, I think absolutely the military would be involved. You know, especially if you count the National Guard, they would be deployed to provide security, whether because the elections have been canceled just to, you know, prevent demonstrations or, you know, at the polls to prevent any, you know, problems at the polls. I do. James Music, thanks for the £20. Hey, I sent a super chat a week ago, but it never got picked up. I'm so sorry. What I asked was, Ted said that by 2050, civilization could collapse because of climate change. How likely is that to happen? And what are the chances of it getting better? There are no chances of it getting better, because even if we abolish the internal combustion engine internationally tomorrow morning, there's so much additional energy pumped into the atmosphere since industrialization that there is no, this is an irreversible process at this point. There's literally nothing we can do. We passed that tipping point decades ago. And so the real question now is mitigation and how do we handle it? How do we ride it out? And the only thing that you can do is geoengineering, which is dangerous as shit. John and I have talked about that offline. I will not go further than that. I hope we don't do geoengineering because it's so dangerous, because it could plunge the world into a new ice age. But, I think in terms of the civilizational collapse, I don't know. This is just what other experts are saying. John, what do you think?
Yeah, this is another thing that I'm genuinely worried about. Yeah, and you know, another thing too is that we don't really have any kind of national consensus on these issues. We're flailing around.
No, not at all. The right and the Trump administration are going the opposite direction. Uh-huh. They're unspooling regulations. Part of me kind of thinks it doesn't matter how big your fucking car is anymore because of what I just said. There's so much energy in the atmosphere. It makes no difference. You might as well party and drive your 9 miles an hour, miles gallon if you want. But no, there's no consensus, right? We can't agree on the situation. We can't agree on the facts. So if you can't agree on that, how can you agree that there's a problem that needs to be resolved?
Absolutely right, Ted.
So DBGT, thanks for the 200. I think those are rupees. Good morning, both. Question for John. John, if Trump does pull the U.S. out of this war, somehow it's obvious Iran won't stop attacking Tel Aviv. Do you then perhaps see them attacking, going for the Samson option or nuclear?
I think that when the Israelis tell us that there's a Samson option, that we should take them at their word. I could absolutely see the Israelis going nuclear. Yes.
Monkey Mind Matters, $4.99. Thank you very much for the donation. Vimal, thanks for the $2 Canadian. India arrested Matt Van Dyke. Is he a CIA merc?
I don't know him.
I don't know who that is.
Matt Van Dyke? Mm-hmm. I'm going to look real quickly.
All right. While you're doing that, John Wesley Powell, thanks for the $5. About the Strait of Hormuz situation, is the CIA not embedded in Iran? I doubt that Trump had no idea about the fallout of bombing Iran. No, apparently he didn't, which is bizarre. What value is Cuba to the USA, and would Cuba not require subsidies? Well, right now, Cuba is of little value because of the sanctions, and we haven't had an economic relationship with them. But it could be of enormous value. I mean, you know, agriculturally, as a tourist destination, by far the biggest nation in the Caribbean, it could be. I mean, obviously, we have a giant base at Guantanamo Bay. It could be. I mean, that would be the move, is to have friendlier relations. It should have been the move since the late 1950s.
Let me interrupt you for a second. Matt Van Dyke is a nut. Born in 1979, he first gained fame as a foreign fighter in the Libyan Civil War on the side of the uprising against Gaddafi. He was captured and held as a prisoner of war. He then was released and then traveled by motorcycle to Syria, where he took up the fight against ISIS. He founded a 501c3 called the Sons of Liberty International. After fighting ISIS, he went to Ukraine to fight the Russians in March of 2022. He's been captured repeatedly. I guess he's not a very good foreign fighter. This guy's not CIA. With 1,000% certainty, I'm telling you, this guy's not CIA. He's too stupid and too out there in public to be CIA.
Robbie, you have some housekeeping to do, so I'm going to bring Robbie in.
I do, just real quick. I keep getting kind of blasted. Well, I really mean us, by people who are upset that their chats are not being answered in a timely manner or at all. Let me just kind of just go through and show you and tell y'all what the hierarchy is. And if y'all get mad at me. It's not John. It's not Ted. It's me. It's your favorite white supremacist who is a white supremacist. So let me explain to y'all how this works. It's stupid. This even has to be done, but yet here we are. So anyone is welcome to submit their questions. If the question looks good and if I don't miss it, I will feed it over to the guys. That being said, if you pay for your question, I will prioritize your paid question because someone fucking paid for their question to be answered. That's the priority. If you give John and Ted money, I will then do everything I can to make sure they see your question so they answer it because you're investing in the show. That's the reality. I try to get to everybody. If you get missed, it's not personal. Bro, I don't know you. I don't know you enough to be unpersonalized to you. It doesn't matter. I will do everything I can to be as fair about this as I possibly can, but you have to understand there's three guys, two live streams, thousands of messages. And if you think it's getting missed now, wait till one of these other guys here ain't here and someone is having to fill in. Because then I guarantee you chats will get missed because you just can't keep up.
Thank you, Robbie. Do we have any ads?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and throw one up for you.
Thank you. All right.
Hey, did you see the Israelis are saying that they killed Ali Larijani?
I did see that. Yeah, but the Iranians are denying it. They claim that they issued a statement that is purportedly from him. What do you
think? Yes, congratulating the besieged forces.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
So, yeah, never a dull moment.
You know, I'm going to repeat what I said about a different conflict. You can't have as your policy just to kill everybody. That's not a policy. But it appears to be what the Israelis are attempting. Just kill everybody.
I think there's a logic to it from the Israeli point of view. There isn't from the American point of view, because basically the Israelis, this was their idea, and we tagged along. I think the Israelis, their whole approach is, we know we can't. We know we're a nation of 10 million trying to take on a nation of 92 million. We know we can't destroy Iran, but we can degrade them. We can just make their lives more miserable. We can kill their guys, keep them off balance, destroy some of their infrastructure, slow them down. I think that's literally all. The Israelis know what they can accomplish, and this is it.
Yeah.
But the bad part for us is that we're along for the ride, but we don't have common interests with the Israelis.
No, we don't. So no, we've got an ad.
Yep, let's do it. You've probably noticed Rumble is growing fast and it's not slowing down. They're building a real alternative to big tech that puts creators first and actually protects free speech. And now there's Rumble Premium, an easy way to upgrade your experience. With Premium, you get ad-free viewing across the platform. No pre-rolls, no interruptions, just the content you came for. Plus, Premium members unlock exclusive content like bonus videos, behind-the-scenes drops, and more from your favorite creators. Right now, Rumble is offering $10 off an annual subscription. Just go to rumble.com/premium and use the promo code studio at checkout. That's rumble.com/premium, promo code studio, no ads, more freedom, and content you actually care about. That is the deal. Okay, so let me scroll back and try to catch up with the... Soden, oh my God, thank you so much for the $49.99. Oh,
thank you, Soden. Thank you.
Good morning, gents. John, I was recently watching The Good Shepherd. Have you heard stories about E. Howard Hunt and his involvement with the Bay of Pigs and JFK? And does this administration think that the Cubans will greet us with roses and mojitos?
Can you imagine? E. Howard Hunt, yes, indeed. People used to talk about Howard all the time. Howard Hunt was not only involved in the Bay of Pigs invasion, he was one of Nixon's plumbers. And was one of the men that broke into the Watergate Hotel, into the DNC's offices at the Watergate Hotel in 1971 or two, yeah. On his deathbed, Howard Hunt told his son that he was involved in the assassination of John Kennedy. Kennedy scholars say that's just simply not true. That they cannot place Howard Hunt in the conspiracy or in Dallas. Who knows why he would confess something like that just hours before his death? But yeah, Howard Hunt was one of those enigmas that people used to talk about at the agency a lot, just like James Angleton, for example.
Yeah, the guys who were arrested at the Watergate, weren't they all Cuban exiles?
Yeah. All and Howard Hunt was the one leading them.
Yeah.
Yes.
What a clown show.
Oh, you can say that again.
Morshid Shadeen, thanks for the $2 Canadian. Do Pakistan and Turkey aid Iran with intel on the Baluchis and the Kurds?
That's a good question. I would say probably not. Just because the Pakistanis and Iranians don't like or trust each other.
Yeah.
And the Baluchis are a violent, murderous group. The Baluchistan Liberation Army, murderous group. And the Pakistanis kind of accused the Iranians of giving them safe haven. Yeah. I don't think so.
I would agree with that.
It's a dangerous neighborhood. And the Pakistanis, to tell you the truth, they don't get along with anybody.
That's true. They're spicy.
Except the Chinese. They love the Chinese.
Fast Eddie, thanks for the £5. What concessions would the U.S. be likely to offer the Iranians to reopen the Strait of Hormuz if the U.S. Navy is unable or unwilling to open it themselves? Well, that's just the thing.
That's the question right there.
They should offer concessions. You know, I guess, but I don't think they will. Or any, at most, they could offer a ceasefire, but I don't think the Iranians are interested in a ceasefire, and they shouldn't be, because it just means that the war will resume at some later point, and they're the, and it's all on their, mostly on their territory. If I'm the Iranians, I am not happy about seeing my people killed, but I like the way this is going. You know, I like the future of it. I like the trend line.
I have to agree with you.
The Americans are squirming.
They're big time, where they're sending secret messages. Hey, can we talk about this? And then the Europeans are saying, go fly a kite when we ask for help. And then this was a bad idea from the beginning. Trump was played by Netanyahu, and now we're stuck.
And this is why, John, this very militaristic country that we live in, yep, that repeatedly has fucked with the Middle East for since before you and, yep, I were born.
Yep.
Why Democratic and Republican presidencies alike repeatedly thought about going to war with Iran and, yes, then decided not to.
Yes.
It's like, it's too big. It's too hard.
That's right.
And now it's too big. It's too hard. Nothing's changed.
That's it.
Random, thanks for the $10. As someone who identifies as a leftist, I must ask, why do we like Tucker Carlson? Doesn't he hate us? Thank you for this. I love you three, and I love this show. Hashtag pardon Kiriakou.
Thank you.
Well, as the leftiest of the two of us, I think it's fair to say, I like Tucker Carlson because he's honest and he plays it straight as far as as much as anyone else on in the media. And to me, that counts for a lot. I don't care if you come from the left or from the right. If you're not full of shit, I like you. That said, I don't think he likes us lefties.
I disagree.
Really?
He and I have talked about this.
Okay.
He was liberated when he was fired from Fox News. He is genuinely a populist, like a real populist. And a real populist understands that there are issues on which the left and the right can agree. And if that agreement advances the populist agenda, he's okay with it. He and I will never, ever, ever agree on abortion, for example. Never. But we agree on a lot of other things, like civil liberties. And so, you know, I'm one of those people that I'm happy to make alliances wherever we can find agreement. And I find him one of the most, if not the most reasonable right winger that I've ever encountered.
Look, I feel the same way about making alliances for sure. 100%. All right. Well, I'm glad to be wrong there.
And he's a genuinely good guy, you know, just a genuinely good guy.
I
trust him. I like him and I enjoy his company.
Good to know. I've never been on a show, so I don't know.
RIP. I'm gonna go back on the 20th of April.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
420 day.
Yeah. 420 day.
RIP Michael Parenti. Thanks for the $4.99. Is there much diversity of political perspective or thought inside the CIA, or is it fairly uniparty groupthink in the name of American imperialism?
That's a good question. You know, it's funny when you are, how should I say this? When you are part of that culture, you think that there's wide disagreement and you're having these very deep intellectual debates. And then when you are outside the CIA, you realize that the debate was inside this little box that you thought was the broader world. And it's not. So to answer your question, most people are inside that little box promoting the cause of imperialism. Yes. Good question.
John, you've said the U.S. is the best country in the world. Do you still feel that way? And thanks for Monkey Mind Matters $4.99. Which country would you pick if you were going to leave? Greece.
I would pick Greece, but I'm biased in favor of Greece. But there are lots of places that I've been that I could live easily. I could live in the United Arab Emirates or Bahrain. I could live in Uruguay. I'll tell you what, man, I went to Uruguay and I was like, oh my God, this is paradise.
You're, I couldn't you're believe like the it. Third person who's told me that. Yeah.
It's incredible.
Would you say the US is still the best country in the world? I mean, depend. If how did you, you know, best? How do you define that?
Yeah, best. You know, I'm biased in favor of the U.S. only because I'm an American, of course. Best, we have some serious, serious problems. I think that in terms of day-to-day life, I would have a much easier time of it living in Greece. Yeah, much easier
probably,
time.
Probably France for me because because I speak French, right?
Right.
So, and I am a citizen, so that helps enormously. Right.
You know, Ted, I'm flying to Berlin this afternoon, and I'm flying on Swiss Air, and they've been sending me these automated emails. I have like six of them reminding me that I absolutely positively have to have this app that allows Americans to get into the European Union, but I have to pay 25 euros, and I can't enter without this app, and you better fill out the form, and you better download the app. It's like, all right, I heard you the first five times you told me. But I've got my Greek passport.
You know how many people fucking show up at the, you know, so yeah. So are you doing the app or not?
No,
you
don't no, need to. I just pull out my Greek passport and just blow right through.
Yeah, by the way, that's bullshit. The U.S. and Europe, Western Europe, we never had any kind of visa regime. This is de facto a visa light regime.
That's right. That's exactly what it is.
It sucks. And it's bilateral, in fairness. We're charging
yes, it's bilateral. Yes, so, indeed.
It's still that's crap. Right. Assad, thanks for the 1999. As a Palestinian in the diaspora, never did I imagine we would begin polling, which shows Americans beginning to support Palestine over Israel. That's one of our topics today. Though it took a genocide of my people, significance for electoral politics. Let's talk. So the latest, there's now a set of polls, not just an outlying poll, that shows that for the first time, more registered voters in the U.S. do view Israel negatively, and more people sympathize with the Palestinians than with the Israelis. And most of that change is among registered Democrats, but also many independents. Republican pollster Bill McInturf, what a name, says this is unrecognizable in terms of where America was and the Democratic Party was for a 20, 30-year history. The Democratic primary in 2028, if we have one, is going to be fought on very, very different terrain in regards to the issue of Israel. So I think this is going to blow up the schism between the progressive left base of the Democratic Party and the Zionist DNC that runs the Democratic Party. This is where, if it was like you had another 2016, or let's say you had another 2016 split between like a Bernie and a Hillary, this would be advantage Bernie. It's not that he's like a reliable anti-Zionist, but you know, this puts wind in the sails of the progressive left. It sucks the air out of AIPAC. AIPAC is not going to be a two-party organization anymore. It's only going to be a Republican organization going forward. I think the repercussions are big.
I think so too. Hey, let me interrupt us for a second. There's breaking news that Joe Kent, the director of the National Counterterrorism Center, has resigned. Joe Kent has only been the head of the NCTC for 8 months. He barely squeaked through the Senate confirmation process. He was a former CIA paramilitary officer, a graduate from Norwich University in strategic defense analysis, whatever the heck that is, and a far right wing candidate for the House of Representatives from the state of Washington. He's been very controversial, and there's no indication why he resigned. He just got the seat warm, and now he's out.
repercussions?
You know, I wonder if he or the NCTC missed something in terms of terrorist planning. And I wonder if he's taking heat. I'm looking, and it
like
hasn't
Michigan, been, like the Michigan synagogue attack or something exactly, that we haven't heard about.
Exactly, exactly. That it's something deep. The Southern Poverty Leadership Council and 47 other civil rights groups opposed his nomination in the first place, saying that you're putting a right wing, like Charlottesville kind of extremist, in charge of counterterrorism. Come on,
Wolf, enjoy the hen house. Wow. So getting back to the Palestinian diaspora questioner here.
May I comment on that?
Yes, please.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. So, you know, first of all, this is absolutely wonderful news. But the task that's before us is to make this a permanent situation. Mm-hmm. And part of the problem is that a lot of imams, especially imams in the state of Michigan, are not convinced that Muslim voters should be participating in the political process, that they should be sitting it out instead. And they shouldn't be sitting it out. They should be the first ones in line at the polling places.
Michigan's a swing state.
Michigan's a swing state. And New Jersey, you know, they can really change the landscape in New Jersey because there are so many Muslims up north. Mm-hmm. So this is the thing. If public opinion is turning in favor of the Palestinians, then
weigh in.
We need to seize this.
I want to say, I mean, I think, yes, obviously the Gaza genocide is the driving force. But also, I think a lot of people, including people on the right, do not like to see the U.S. dragged in by its nose, at Bibi Netanyahu's behest.
Yes. Agreed.
Etham, thanks for the 550 Turkish lira. Could shifting U.S. policies in the Middle East lead to Turkey being sidelined or pressured in favor of Israel's security interests? I mean, that seems to already be happening.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Monkey Mind Matters, $4.99. We already answered that one. Sorry. Firmware, thanks for the $10. Quarterly profits of ExxonMobil exceed the total budget for paying all 3,000 scientists in the IPCC by a significant factor. That's depressing.
Fun fact, Exxon makes half of its revenue from non-oil downstream industries, especially chemicals.
Also, fun fact, right? Like the Exxon companies, like ExxonMobil, are the biggest drivers of green energy. They are,
which is nuts, but it's true.
And it's smart, right?
Yes, they're forward looking
and they're leveraging.
That's right. That's why they've been around for so long.
Sneaker 1020, $50. With new cluster missiles, are all American interceptors obsolete? Obsolete's a big word.
Yeah, you said you took the words right out of my mouth. I wouldn't say obsolete. I would say challenged.
Much better word. Yeah, my father, you know, aeronautical engineer, he was always talking about like, so the you know, there's missiles, there's anti-missiles, there's anti-missile missiles, there's anti-anti-missile missiles. And it's just like, it really is true. And it's just like, it's never ending. Two toes, $6. Thanks so much. In an ideal world, what do we do about Israel? Sanctions, UN occupation, two state, one state. But in my ideal world, the US and the UN would de-recognize it, invade, reunify Palestine into a all of historical Palestine from the river to the sea in one democratic, one person, one vote state. And guarantee everyone's equal civil liberties. John?
Yeah, I have to agree with that, Ted. I agree.
And the nuclear stockpile has to be seized and, you know, controlled. I mean, they have 100 nukes. I mean, they're the biggest threat in the Middle East, ironically. Soden, thanks for another $4.99. Amazing. John, my mother's country, Guyana, is ending its decades-long agreement with Cuba to host medical brigades, resulting in the withdrawal of over 200 doctors. Was this pressure from this administration and is legal? I'm sure it's legal. Does anyone in DC have any freaking compassion? Fuck no.
What a joke.
It's got to be Trump administration pressure. It's got
to it's got to be. It's got to be. What else can you say?
It's ridiculous. I mean, plus the Cubans are good doctors. I mean,
you know, they are.
Portia, thanks for the $2. Hey, guys, my wife and I just watched the Unsolved Mysteries about Jack Wheeler's murder. Very strange case, and I was wondering if John knew him in Washington or had any opinions on the case.
I did not know him.
I don't even know who that is. Sorry. No. $2, John, from Max. Thanks, John. What are your odds that the new Ayatollah is a gay Ayatollah? Oh, yeah, I read about that.
I read that. You know, that's such an Israeli thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
FUSO, $1. If six-fingered Bibi is dead, who's the president of the United States then? Yeah.
That's what George Galloway said yesterday, and I crapped up.
FUSO, $1. Also, is jerking off better with six fingers, asking for an AI friend.
Oh my God!
Wasn't Anne Boleyn born with six fingers?
She had six fingers, yes.
And it was one of the allegations that she was a witch, right?
Yes.
Okay. Firmware, thanks for the $20 to all. Be nice to Robbie; he has 10 thumbs and an elementary school education. Plus, he's peddling as fast as he can. There, I said it. I mean, that's rude shit, but we do need the $20, so thank you. Brady Okerlund, $9.99. Hey, Ted and John, why haven't all the Epstein files been fully released yet? The beef jerky comments are so odd, and the situation feels strange.
You know,
what's actually stopping full transparency?
Seriously, I've been seizing on the beef jerky comments. Have you followed that, Ted?
No, please bring me up.
So there are 1,300 emails that mention beef jerky. So-and-so's coming over to teach us how to make beef jerky. So-and-so has this amazing beef jerky recipe. Mm-hmm. We're going to make the beef jerky. The beef jerky looks so beautiful. We're going to freeze the beef jerky. We're going to store the beef jerky. They talk about beef jerky 9 ways from Sunday. The only thing they don't talk about is eating beef jerky. So clearly beef jerky it's got to be drugs or children or something untoward. It's outrageous.
Sounds like drugs to me.
I would think so.
Cocaine, maybe.
I would think so. Right.
So, you know, so why are the files not being released? I mean, look, obviously, because there's shit in there.
What we should take Trump at his word. Trump said he doesn't want them released because he doesn't want to embarrass his friends. He said that.
Yeah, I believe him.
I do too.
Okay. Firmware, thanks for the $5. Ted, I'm to the left of Lenin. So there. I was an English major. I know alliteration. All right. James Kelly, thanks so much for the $2. You guys are awesome. Love the show. Thank you very much. Polychron, thanks for the $4.99. John, the Iranian special interest section in the U.S. is in the Pakistani embassy. I've been there. Yeah. Can you elaborate on the Iran-Pakistan relationship?
That's a legacy. It's proper. It's proper. For a while, the Iranian intersection was in the Algerian embassy, and then it sort of changes every once in a while. We've had Switzerland, Sweden, Italy in Tehran. So yeah, they'll do it for 5 or 10 years, and then they'll just kind of switch up.
John, in all honesty, thank Toby for the $7.99 Australian dollars. What's your perspective of the human condition? Wow. We only have 20 minutes left. I feel like everyone follows a philosopher, but what is your view of human nature, John Kiriakou? I will go and
I've got a framed postcard that I found in Athens with a quote from Socrates. And it says, "The only thing that I know is that I know nothing."
Ooh, that's good.
And that is my philosophy that I've
adopted.
The
older you get, the truer that feels, for sure. Dingleman, thanks for the $10. There seems to be a big threat from lone wolf mass shooters that are on decentralized Telegram chat rooms. John, if you were running the CIA, how would you combat this?
This is actually an FBI issue because it's domestic. Yeah. But you know, you got to put those Cray computers to work. We're spending billions and billions of dollars on tech and AI so that we can you know, root these people out. So why aren't we rooting them out? Unless you need more human analysts to follow this stuff. I just received Joseph Kent's resignation letter. Interestingly enough, he did not send it to Tulsi Gabbard, who's his boss. He sent it directly to President Trump. Dear President Trump, it doesn't even say dear, it says President Trump. After much reflection, I have decided to resign from my position as director of the National Counterterrorism Center effective today. I cannot in good conscience support your ongoing war in Iran.
Whoa.
Wow. Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation, and it is clear that we started this war due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby. I support the values and the foreign policies that you campaigned on in 2016, 2020, 2024, and that you enacted in your first term. Until June of 2025, you understood that the wars in the Middle East were a trap that robbed America of the precious lives of our patriots and depleted the wealth and prosperity of our great nation. In your first administration, you understood better than any modern president how to decisively apply military power without getting us drawn into never-ending wars. You demonstrated this by killing Qassem Soleimani and by defeating ISIS. Early in this administration, high-ranking Israeli officials and influential members of the American media deployed a misinformation campaign that wholly undermined your America First platform and sowed pro-war sentiments to encourage a war with Iran. This echo chamber was used to deceive you into believing that Iran posed an imminent threat to the United States and that you should strike now, that there was a clear path to a swift victory. This was a lie and is the same tactic that the Israelis have used to draw us into the disastrous Iraq war that cost our nation the lives of thousands of our best men and women. We cannot be allowed to make this mistake again. As a veteran who deployed to combat 11 separate times, and as a Gold Star husband who lost my beloved wife Shannon in a war manufactured by Israel, I cannot support sending the next generation off to fight and die in a war that serves no benefit to the American people, nor justifies the cost of American lives. I pray that you will reflect upon what we are doing in Iran and who we are doing it for. The time for bold action is now. It's not too late to reverse course and chart a new path for our nation. It was an honor to serve you, Joseph Kent. That is one of the most powerful resignation letters I've ever read.
John, there hasn't been, and I've talked about this in the past, there the idea of the principled resignation, we haven't really seen since the Carter administration and the Cy Vance. And his resigned as Secretary of State because he opposed the hostage rescue attempt that went tits up in the desert when in a sandstorm claimed our helicopters. It wasn't even like really truly like that serious
right.
a matter.
Right. Right.
But resignations on principle used to be a fairly standard place to go. And now nobody does it anymore. That's the first one of any significance of my lifetime.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
Wow.
I'm amazed by it. I would have expected this from a half a dozen other people in the administration, not from him. But it's the argument is so powerful that you can't ignore it. Trump is losing the very people who put him in office.
Yes, he is.
Why? And for what? For Netanyahu?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. So Trump, his reaction. Inside his heart of hearts, how does he feel?
Yeah.
And what will be, I think we know his public posture will be belligerence, defiance, insulting, you know, but I don't even think we have to discuss that. In his heart of hearts, does he think that he has a point?
I think so. I think so. I mean, you have to be friggin' brain dead not to see the point.
Really? All right. Well, we have a bunch of questions, so we should get to them as much as we can here. Okay. Niku, thanks for the $5. Tucker's Carlson with Greenwald. They talked about crazy new DEI for Jewish students and a lot of censorship on Israel speech. Any truth to that? I know nothing about this.
I haven't heard that. You know, I'll say again, and I'm just going to take a cheap shot here because I can.
It's our show.
Glenn and I went to college together. I was a senior. He was a freshman. I was president of the College Democrats, and he was the freshman rep to the College Democrats. He was a weirdo back then. He's a weirdo today. He's a media whore. I really don't have respect for him. That's just me. Sorry, I'm being a dick today. I can't help it. I woke up in a bad mood.
All I can say is that he was nowhere to be found during the LA Times thing when everyone else of his political persuasion was writing amicus briefs for me. He wouldn't even cover it.
See, that's so, how, when I blew the whistle, he told me, hey, you're on your own, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's Pierre Omidyar shit, but whatever. He's a puss. Okay. John and Talon, $4.99. Thanks so much. As a massive fan in content with Tucker, as he continues to push agenda into shock hungry stances on anti-vax and abortion, will you?
Oh, no. No, Tucker and I are on polar opposite sides of those issues.
On with Tucker, so it's not an issue for me.
Yeah, although I will say, like Ted, I got 5 COVID shots. 5, right? I mean, in part because we had to in order to keep our jobs at Sputnik. I got 5 COVID shots. And then for the very first time in my life, I started struggling with blood clots.
Mm.
And I was hospitalized twice. Like, where the heck did that happen? Never on either side of my family has anybody ever had a problem with blood clots.
Wow.
And I'm 59 years old. I'm hospitalized for blood clots.
That's not good.
No.
Steve, thanks for the 5 Canadian bucks. Would either of you ever go back to Australia right now? Well,
definitely.
Go back to Australia. I've never been to Australia.
It's awesome. Would you be worried?
I bet it's awesome. But would you be worried? I edited the National Geographic tourist guide for Australia.
How fun.
It was just money. And they sent me all the photos, right, for the proofs. And I've never cared about Australia. And then they sent me those photos. And I was like, holy shit, what a beautiful country. I really want to go.
Ted,
and I've felt that ever since.
I never cared one whit about going to Australia until I went. I went for a WikiLeaks event in 2023. And I was like, oh my God, this is the most beautiful country in the world. I couldn't believe my eyes.
So would you be worried about getting arrested at the airport for wrong thing? I don't understand why that.
I would be far more worried about that in the UK. Far more worried.
Mm.
Richard Medhurst. You know Richie Medhurst, the independent journalist.
No, I don't.
He's a brilliant writer, a brilliant analyst. He's British. And pro-Palestinian, he's repeatedly been arrested re-entering his own country from overseas. Yesterday, he published a map showing where every one of Hezbollah's missiles has struck inside.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
And they put out a warrant for him again.
Yeah, so and here in the U.S., someone, American guy, did that, and he was and on the right, people are calling for him to be arrested for treason.
Treason against Israel.
It's not treason to betray another country.
No, morons.
Well, you can't really betray another country, rat out another country. It might not be nice, but it's
what
not
a treason. Moron.
Hogs Candyland, $5. The world is a charade, and those in people power do what they want. No question. Traxans, thanks for the buck. I understand it's a very long shot, but if you add Lebanon to the one-state Palestine solution, which would increase the Christian population significantly, would it make it more palatable for the United States?
I'll tell you what, I support a three-state solution. And nobody's talking about it yet, but there's nothing to connect the West Bank and Gaza. Nothing.
That's true.
They should be independent countries.
That's
and
true.
With Israel in between them.
Gaza could be a city state.
It could be a city state under, you know, Saudi administration or whatever the agreement is. I don't even care. Egyptian makes no difference.
I was going to say, I could see Gaza under Egyptian administration. That makes historical sense. Let's see. John, Tobby J44, thanks for the $2.99. Have you had a dream about what's ahead? It's a deep, all the metaphysical questions are coming in today.
No, tell you the truth, deep in the back of my brain, I'm still so obsessed with my own problems that I'm not dreaming about the world's problems.
Unsung that $5.
I wake up and my first thought is, you evil bitch. and then I get a hold of myself.
Oh, yeah. No, I get that. Shadow Cell book targets Falcon watched Patriots Day again, and the FBI task force. That's the movie about the Boston Marathon bombing, right?
Yeah.
I think set up TTF at the Black Falcon terminal in Boston. Not to mention a lot of U.S. government SUVs have Falcon number plates. Okay. Mm. I don't know. Daily Bar, thanks for the $9.99. What would be your take, in your opinion, for the United States to be successful in Iran? Wow, that is a $2 billion a day question.
Yeah, that's a big question. Honestly, I don't think we can be successful in Iran. No. I don't. There's no scenario in my mind where we can be successful in Iran. Well,
no, I think there is, but we won't do it.
Right.
Which is, we reach out. And we say, listen, we want to bring this in. We want good relations.
Big agreement. Big.
We're really sorry. Grand yes. bargain. Let's be friends. Bygones be bygones. Let's start from scratch. We ain't
gonna yes. Yes. I agree.
James Kelly, $2. I wonder if that will be covered in the mainstream. I don't know what that refers to, but thanks for the $2. And we are number 8 in the country on Rumble right now. Thank you.
Hey, very much. Great.
So I guess we have a couple of minutes left, and if any more let's see, there are actually a few questions here. Stefan, how did the relationship between Greece and the Middle East change in the last few years?
For example,
there were trucks loaded from Volos headed to Latakia and Tartus. There were also routes to Haifa.
It's changed dramatically. When you remember, Israel and Turkey used to be practically joined at the hip. They were so close to one another. And Erdogan did a 180 and just flipped. And as soon as the Turks and the Israelis became enemies, the Greeks stepped in and said to the Israelis, we'll be friends with you. Because it used to be the Turks were with the Israelis, the Greeks were with the Arabs. And this was for decades, decades. There was a PLO office in Athens, PFLP, DFLP, the Libyans had a functioning embassy there. It all flipped. And as soon as Cyprus found gas and the Israelis said, we'll help you lift the gas, that sealed the deal.
Mm.
The Greek people hate that the Greek government is allied with Israel. They hate it. But financially, it's the only thing they can do.
Alexander Leuchte, why is China not shipping a bunch of basic medical supplies to Cuba? They produce all of the plastics up for IVs. I don't think the Chinese care about Cuba.
I agree with that.
And if they did, they could absolutely ship. But there's effectively a naval blockade.
Yes, there is a naval blockade. I told you when I was there, it was every single day, squash, squash, squash. I'm like, oh my God, I can't eat any more squash. And this Cuban guy said, the American blockade even includes food. So we eat what we can produce, and this is squash season.
Dasuk is asking you, John, how do you rectify reconcile is the word that he means, your pro-choice stance with being an Orthodox Christian?
Yeah. I get that a lot. My priest yells at me a lot, and I just say that I think the church is wrong. I just believe that the church is wrong.
John D. Cockfeller, I'm a staunch conservative, but I'll be damned if I don't like listening to the fellers here. I appreciate you, John.
Thank you for that.
I love listening to Tucker Carlson. And
I do too. I do too.
And you know where I am. I guess we're wrapping it up here today. So John, you may or may not be with us tomorrow. We're not really quite sure.
I'm not 100% sure.
It all depends on how the gods of the airlines cooperate.
Yeah, I'm flying to Berlin, and Berlin Airport is on strike, and it's kind of screwing me up. But I'll figure it out.
All right. So one way or the other, deprogram with Ted Rall, and either with John Kiriakou or Robbie West, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Either way, John will be back on the air Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern time. We're here Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Appreciate you. Thanks. Please like, follow, and share the show. We appreciate all of your generous contributions. John, happy trails. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you, sir. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Bye, everyone. And please stay tuned for the TMI show with Manila Chan and myself.